ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we're reading Canto 8, Chapter 3, Text 2. Shri Gajendra Uvacha. Om Namo Bhagavate Tasmai. Yata Etachchid Atmakam. Purushayadi Bijaya. Parishaya Bidhimahi. Shri Gajendra Uvacha. Gajendra, the king of elephants, said, Om, O my Lord, Namah, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Bhagavate, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tasmai, unto him. Yataha, from whom, etat, this body and the material manifestation, chit atmakam, is moving due to consciousness, the spirit soul. Purushaya, unto the Supreme Person. Adi Bijaya, who is the origin or root cause of everything. Paraishaya, who is supreme, transcendental, and worshipable for such exalted persons as Brahma and Shiva. Abhidhimahi, let me meditate upon him. Translation, the king of the elephants, Gajendra, said, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Person, Vasudev. And then in parenthesis, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Because of him, this material body acts due to the presence of spirit, and he is therefore the root cause of everyone. He is worshipable for such exalted persons as Brahma and Shiva, and he has entered the heart of every living being. Let me meditate upon him. Someone like to read the purport? Who has good voice?
In these words, the word etachidatmakam are very important. The material body certainly consists only of material elements, but when one awakens to Krishna conscious understanding, the body is no longer material but spiritual. The material body is meant for sense enjoyment, whereas the spiritual body engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Therefore, a devotee who engages in the service of the Supreme Lord and who constantly thinks of him should never be considered to have a material body. It is therefore enjoined, Gurushu Naravanihi. One should stop thinking of the spiritual master as an ordinary human being with a material body. Achare Vishnu Shila Hi. Everyone knows that a deity in the temple is made of stone. But to think that a deity is merely stone is an offense. Similarly, to think that the body of the spiritual master consists of material ingredients is offensive. Atheists think that devotees foolishly worship a stone statue as God and an ordinary man as the guru. The fact is, however, that by the grace of Krishna's omnipotence, the so-called stone statue of the deity is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the body of the spiritual master is directly spiritual. A pure devotee who is engaged in unalloyed devotional service should be understood to be situated on the platform, on the transcendental platform. Sagunan samatyetan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Let us therefore offer our obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whose mercy so-called material things also become spiritual when they are engaged in spiritual activity. Omkar, pranava, is the symbolic sound representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Tat Sat, iti vindesho, brahmanas, trivithas mitaha. The three words Om Tat Sat immediately invoke the Supreme Person. Therefore Krishna says that he is Omkara in all the Vedic mantras. Pranava Sarva Vedesu. The Vedic mantras are pronounced beginning with Omkara to indicate immediately the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam, for example, begins with the words Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. There is no difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, and Omkara or Pranava. We should be careful to understand that Omkara does not indicate anything nirakara or formless. Indeed, this verse immediately says, Om Namo Bhagavate. Bhagavan is a person. Thus, Omkara is the representation of the Supreme Person. Omkara is not meant to be impersonal, as the Mayavadi philosophers consider it to be. This is distinctly expressed here by the word Purushaya. The Supreme Truth addressed by Omkar is Purusha, the Supreme Person. He is not impersonal. Unless he is a person, how can he control the great stalwart controllers of the universe? Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are the supreme controllers of this universe. But Lord Vishnu is offered obeisances even by Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. Therefore, this verse uses the word Parishaya, which indicates that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped by exalted demigods. Parishaya means Parameshwara. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are Ishwaras, great controllers. But Lord Vishnu is Parameshwara, the Supreme Controller.
Thank you. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udirayet. So by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, we have the opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and to discuss it. When we used to see Srila Prabhupada in his garden in Los Angeles. Were you ever there? Yeah? We'd go down in the evening before the Artik and we would sit in the garden and just want to hear from some nectar from Srila Prabhupada. But Srila Prabhupada would have a devotee read from the scripture And then he would say, now you discuss amongst yourselves. He wanted to hear how the devotees are realizing the knowledge of the Vedas and how, if they are reading his books. So he was discussing one point, and myself being a big talker, when he said, now you discuss amongst yourselves, immediately I said something. Karanam guna sangha asya. It is stated in such and such chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And before I even finished my sentence, Srila Prabhupada cut me off and started talking about it. I realized later that I had quoted that verse from the wrong chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So really, what did I have to say that was so authoritative? But the point being that Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for discussion amongst the devotees. Hearing from the authority, Shukadev Goswami, he was speaking to 88,000 sages in the forest of Naimisharanya. And all of them are approaching the absolute from their different levels of realization. The words are used in Bhagavatam, yatāditam yatāmahi, which means the speaker is saying, I'll tell you as I have heard it. I'm not concocting something. So here we hear Srila Prabhupada's commentary on the verse. The first paragraph, he speaks about the importance of understanding that the spiritual master or the scripture or the deity is not something material subject to our analysis or our imperfect perception, but it's actually directly God. It's directly spiritual. And you all know that lesson from Bhagavad Gita, early chapters, chapter 5, chapter 3, famous verse, Brahmaksharam Samud Bhavam. These books, these Vedas, they're directly manifested from Girisha, from the breathing of the Supreme Person. They're not material sound vibrations. They become material sound vibrations when we hear it and we change it to fit, to suit our interpretation. Like, then he discusses in the second paragraph, how the Mayavad changes the interpreted, the direct meaning of that verse, of those Vedas. Omkara, for example, Lord Chaitanya gave his translation, his interpretation of Om. Who knows what he said? The three words A-U-M, according to Lord Chaitanya, indicate the Supreme Lord, His internal potency, Radharani, and the Jivas. We are all together, one, spiritual identity. Each individual infinitesimal spark, the Jiva, has identity, but we are one with the whole, who also has identity. Right? What is that called? That philosophy? Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Simultaneously, we're one and different, and it's inconceivable. Only when you realize it, when you realize yourself and you realize the spiritual glories of God to the limited capacity that the jiva can understand, can you realize this exalted philosophy of Lord Chaitanya. But here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that the Mayavadis changed that interpretation from the Supreme Person and His energies to myself. Tatvamasi. You are that. They're talking about God. But the Vaishnavas of all different sects, Christianity, Vaishnavism, Ramanujacharya, followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we all say that don't try to become God. Be a servant. Your constitutional position, Jivar Swarup Haya, loudly so everyone remembers. Krishna Nitya Das. We are eternally the servant of the Lord. We do not become the Lord at any stage of our realization. So, this is more or less, the Mayavad philosophy is more or less a kind of covered atheism. In Christian religion, some of you know that because of desiring to eat the forbidden fruit, Adam and Eve, they fell to the material creation. They want to be the enjoyer, and therefore, okay, come to the material world. Is it right? So, in the early chapters of Bhagavad Gita, perhaps in the introduction, Prabhupada says that false ego has two psychic divisions. Ahankara, which binds us to this material creation, has two psychic divisions. One is that I am the controller, and the other is that I am the enjoyer. This is dictated to us by ahankara. So what is the difference between a jiva leaving the spiritual world because he wants to be the enjoyer of the energy, and a Mayavad who says, take the Vedas, they prove that you are God? It's the same sin. It's the same original sin to deny our constitutional position as infinitesimal, part and parcel, cooperator with God. We are not God. We are not the enjoyer. We are not the creator. We are the created and we are the enjoyed. Keeping that constitutional position allows us to have a look into the nectar of devotion. Right? Krishna reveals himself how? According to the Gita, what verse am I referring to? Say loud. As you surrender, I reward you accordingly. Ye yata mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajami aham. And interestingly, this chapter, chapter 3 of Canto 8, is titled Gajendra's Prayers of Surrender. This mood of giving yourself to Krishna, I am yours, and I am your servant, and I am simply a tiny spark, allow me to do some little service for you. God is so great that he's created trillions upon trillions of tiny jivas, all with individuality and all with a particular role to play in cooperation with the will of God. Prabhupada was once asked, what is the purpose of life? And his somewhat astonishing reply was, purpose of life is pleasure. God expands himself. Ekta Bahu Sham, you've heard that line. God expands himself to enjoy the pleasure of the relationship between him and his part and parcel. When a relationship is established, which is only possible in bhakti, then you can enjoy the amrit, the nectar of devotion. If you think I am God, or if you sacrifice yourself in the fire of the impersonal Brahman, as stated in the Gita, what benefit do you get? You miss out on the love and pleasure with which God created us all individually. The ability to share a loving relationship with Him and to enjoy the nectar of the relationship with Him. That's the real pleasure of life. If you read Bhagavad Gita, for example, I just finished chapter 5. And I was reading how everything is discussed from the viewpoint of giving up sense gratification and coming to the point of understanding yourself as transcendental. Then I was thinking, okay, there's some pleasure in sense gratification. It's very tiny and it's very temporary. What is the pleasure in becoming transcendental? The Mayavad becomes transcendental, and Prabhupada describes it simply as a negation of misery. No tangible ananda. There's chit and there's sat, but no tangible ananda. The ananda is in our relationship with Srila Prabhupada, with Lord Krishna, with Lord Chaitanya, with the Guru, with the other Vaishnavas, and how we can cooperate together and enjoy the rasa, the bhakti rasa. So it's important that Srila Prabhupada gives a whole long paragraph negating the Mayavad philosophy in this chapter, which is based on Gajendra surrendering himself. These are prayers of surrender, is the name of the text. They're not prayers of merging or amalgamating or annihilating the self by merging your little drop of water into the ocean of water, and who knows where you have gone. No one will ever see you again. You'll be invisible and inactive in that ocean of water. But when you develop your spiritual form and your spiritual individuality in relationship to Krishna, then you can taste the real pleasure. That is possible even in the practicing stage of bhakti. All of you have that experience, I hope. You're enjoying your life here in Vrindavan. Are you enjoying your service? Do you get the reciprocation of Guru and God by rendering that service? You tangibly experience it? Anyone says no? Yeah. There's nectar in bhakti. There's not nectar in the impersonal path. It takes a long time to get to the point of the identity of the soul and the purificatory process which allows you to relate with the Supreme Soul, but that is the real goal. Even though we are neophytes, one time in Los Angeles, Smarahari's been there in Prabhupada's office in Los Angeles. He would call, he would have different darshans, and we'd try and coax the guard to let us up there. Remember Rakshana and others who, keeping the multitudes away from Srila Prabhupada. But one time I got up there, even though I was just a temple commander. I wasn't a GBC or sannyasi or temple president, but I just pushed myself into Prabhupada's association whenever I could. So one day I was there and I'm thinking, I'm reading Gita, I wish I was Arjuna. I like Krishna in this Sakya Rasa. And then I think, oh, I'm such a nonsense devotee. I can hardly do my 16 rounds. I've had trouble following the four regulator principles, and I'm going to ask Prabhupada, but I open my big mouth again. Srila Prabhupada, if you're a neophyte, but you feel a relationship with Krishna in a particular way, what is that? Is that nonsense? And he opened his eyes wide, like you've seen those pictures of Prabhupada with his eyes wide open. He said, oh, that is what is wanted. God wants you to offer yourself in a relationship with him. If you feel a particular mood towards a particular service, do it with love and bhakti. If you feel a particular drive to become related with Krishna in a particular way, qualify yourself. Don't be sahajiya, but qualify yourself and give him love in that capacity through Srila Prabhupada. He accepts it. So, I had some notes, but basically I wanted to affirm these two paragraphs of Srila Prabhupada's purport, that the eternal transcendence is situated in the acts of sacrifice. Bhakti yoga means sacrifice unto Vishnu. Yajna vai Vishnu. And in the second paragraph, he speaks about the Om mantra and Vedic mantras as not being impersonal, but being personally connected to Krishna through sound vibration. Any question or any comment? You can add something, please. Okay.
Om is a very popular vibration. Since in this second chapter, second paragraph, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that Om is directly Krishna, my question is, when a person chants the Omkar, chants the Om vibration, although unaware that this is directly Krishna, because they haven't enough devotional assets to understand this, do they still get benefit, and what type of benefit do they achieve?
If, as the Gita says, the eternal transcendence is situated in the acts of sacrifice, and they're doing the sacrifice of chanting the holy name as they know it, it could be Krishna, it could be Om, it could be Allah, it could be Jesus, they definitely get the benefit of being connected to God. The name Krishna directly connects you with Shyamasundar, Gopalji. The name Chaitanya directly connects you with Lord Chaitanya. In the spiritual world, as I understand it, you can correct me, there are millions and millions of different planets where Krishna has different forms. The Varaha Bhaktas, the Narasimha Loka, the Bhrigu Loka, the Ramchandra Bhaktas were very prominent in India, Jai Ramjiki. And Hanuman is his servant, and Hanuman is told to be a pure devotee, an example of the pure bhakti. So my thought is, yes, the transcendence is there, and according to the amount of purification or the speed of purification of the, based on the sincerity as God perceives it in your heart, you could theoretically chant Om and Krishna reveals himself fully to you, right in front of you. Many sages did that in previous yugas. Even children in Vaishnava history have realized God by the meditation process. So you have to encourage them. One time in Berkeley, you've been to the Berkeley Temple with Prabhupada? Smarahari and I know each other for 40 years now. So one time in Rath Yatra in San Francisco, Srila Prabhupada was sitting in his room at night after the festival, and he asked me, can you take this man to his place where he's staying? So I said, yes, I got a car from the temple president. He was just staying 1 mile away, and it was a yoga ashram. And there were 300 people sitting in the Kamalasana, which I cannot even do now. And they were sitting by candlelight singing Hare Krishna. They're Mayavadis. Prabhupada is 1 mile away and they're not coming, but they're chanting Hare Krishna. So in the morning, on the morning walk, I talked to Srila Prabhupada. And I said, Srila Prabhupada, where I drove that Indian gentleman last night, there were 300 people singing Hare Krishna. He said, oh, why they do not come to our temple? Because they're not at the point where they're hearing from the pure devotee, which all of you are doing. That is the most advanced level of Vaishnavism. Hearing the name of Krishna from the lips of the pure devotee, you've achieved the topmost rung of the yoga ladder. But not everyone is at that point. What is that? You have comment? Yeah. I'm trying to remember a verse, but the Sanskrit escapes me. So rather than embarrass myself, I'll let an authority speak. Is that all right, Smara?
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Encourage everybody at whatever level they can do. You know the story in New York in the early days when Prabhupada was first lecturing on 26 Second Avenue. And one night, there are some devotees in the hall, and a fellow comes in the room, and he's obviously intoxicated. This is in the Bowery. It's an area known for drinking. So he walks in the room rather unsteadily, and he says, where is the bathroom? And someone points it to him, and he's carrying a roll of toilet paper to donate to the temple. And Srila Prabhupada was so pleased. He said, just see, everyone can do some bhakti, some devotional service.
Sometimes difficulty
along the way.
You know, and some of the spiritual masters may go away.
Okay.
So when one is taking the initiation in front of the fire and given all the rules and regulations, my understanding is that they're connected to Prabhupada and connected to Krishna by that endeavor, even if there is some discrepancy on the person who's maybe giving them the items and is wounded or despite the battle of Kali Yuga Maya. But he's still connected. Sometimes people think, oh, I have to find another spiritual master, another spiritual master. But I know it's a controversial question. Could be a sensitive question. You're experts, so maybe you can give us some insight.
And you know I'm not going to give a controversial answer because your temple is the only temple where I can give Bhagavatam class. Hare Krishna. If the bhava is correct, if the sincerity in the heart of the jiva is there, Krishna makes all arrangements. Whether there's some fault in the process, or whether the devotee falls down even, he says, my devotee is never vanquished. Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhag sadhureva samantavya samyag vyavasito hi saha. You know that verse. Even if there's some fault in the process, I take care of my devotee. So you give your surrender, you know, with heart and with sincerity. The parampara and all of your friends and all the devotees And even if your guru has left, he will still, or she will still, have that mood of kindness to you. There's nothing lost. The only point which may be controversial is we should do what Prabhupada says. And the guru will tell you, here is what Prabhupada says. Like Srila Prabhupada says, here is the interpretation of Sridhar Swami, Srila Bhaktivinoda, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Is not that, like the Mayavadis think, so terribly of Prabhupada. One time, a friend of mine in Los Angeles, my wife has a job with his company for the last 30 years. So he's on a different path with a different guru. You know, he said, come over my house, my guru is there. And this applies to the first paragraph of this purport also, which is nice that you bring it up. Was my answer okay? Okay. So we walk in the house and he introduces me to his guru and he says, Nalini is disciple of Bhaktivedanta Swami. And the man, Mayavad Guru, immediately says, oh, chemist from Calcutta. Just see his realization of the glories of the greatest soul who ever walked on earth. His envy is so great that he looks at him as a material personality. Just like this purport, you see the statue of Prabhupada, if you want to think this is paper mache, or this is foam, or this is stone, he'll reciprocate with you like that. If you want to think he is present here, he will reciprocate with you personally. So, the process of Krishna consciousness and the way Srila Prabhupada taught it is so divine that somehow or other follow the process as well as you can. 1%, 50%. Of course, there's a great obligation for those of you who are in the holiest place of Vrindavan. You have to be 98% pure devotees, all of you. Following your authority, Panchagoda Prabhu.
Oh, yeah, right.
Prabhu, can I answer your
question? Yes.
We've all experienced and seen these.
Speak up, Prabhu.
We've all seen these mishaps taking place in our society. However, the individuals, you and I, we had that determination. To know God. So Krishna is our Chaitanya Guru, and he will introduce us to a person who's qualified, or at one point qualified to give us these instructions. However, that connection is never diminished or broken. So we may have a guru or someone that leaves under some circumstances, but that relationship and that connection to Krishna has been eternally solidified, and it can never be taken away from us. And so the information and the knowledge that Sri Prabhupada has given to us through his books, through his exemplary behavior, teaching as a guru by example. All you have to do is follow him. And it doesn't matter who your guru is, you will receive that mercy.
Kijari. There's so many examples and so many Vaishnavas. Like here, we should follow Gajendra. He's offering prayers of surrender. You go to the fourth canto. Lord Shiva is giving the song sung by Lord Shiva. Follow Lord Shiva. follow the advanced devotees back home, back to Godhead. And one point I'll add to what I agree with what you said is the relationship doesn't depend on the physical body. The relationship with the Krishna Nam doesn't have to be felt tangibly or materially. The relationship with Prabhupada, I haven't seen him personally in 40 years, but every day I try to live with him and hear from him and feel his grace upon me in the form of you devotees, ISKCON, other religious people in the world. The physical condition does not matter. Lord Jesus was crucified. He's nailed to a cross. Can you imagine? You're alive and they're treating you, and you came to give God and they nail you to a cross. Srila Prabhupada says, of course, superficially you can understand that he was to be killed. But that doesn't matter, because the pure soul has nothing to do with the material energy. If your guru is physically present or is spiritually inspiring you, the real thing you want is the bhakti of the Atma. The material condition doesn't matter. Here we see Gajendra, he's an elephant, and he's reciting Om Namo Bhagavate Tasmai. The physical condition of having an elephant's body didn't stop him from saying Vedic mantras, which are given in Srimad Bhagavatam, the highest Vedic literature possible. How is it possible that we should follow an elephant? Because he's pure devotee, he's saying wonderful prayers of surrender. You can follow him, you can follow guru who is disabled, who is mute. You can follow a spiritual master whose words were given thousands of years ago. Spirit is constant and constantly present. You seek that situation. That situation is called mukti, liberation. When you're situated in your real self, Namaskar Ji, Hare Krishna. When you're situated in the real self, I wanted to read just the last paragraph of Bhagavad Gita to finish the class. The living entity in his original position is pure spirit. He is just like an atomic particle of the Supreme Spirit. The conditioned living entity, however, is the marginal energy of the Lord. He tends to be in contact with both material energy and spiritual energy. In other words, the living entity is situated between the two energies of the Lord. And because he belongs to the spiritual, superior energy of the Lord, he has a particle of independence. By proper use of that independence, here's the instruction to us. Proper use of our independence, we come under the direct order of Krishna, and thus we attain our normal condition in the pleasure-giving potency. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.